As I listened to the parts of the hearing I was able to hear this morning, some of the themes that you talked about were similar to some of the themes that you and I have talked about before when we discussed the book that you wrote, Democracy's Arsenal, Creating a 21st Century Defense Industry. And so it struck me that maybe that's the reason that they wanted you, is because some of the members had a chance to read your book.
Yes, they even mentioned that. They gave us some plugs, so I got an extra 5 cents or something on the sale. But that wasn't the important thing. I think the main message here is the difference between trying to, quote, preserve the industrial base versus transform the industrial base. I mean, the 21st century is different in terms of the types of conflicts we'll be involved with, in terms of the types of technologies that are available, in terms of the commercial technology that has exploded in the high-tech world, in terms of globalization, you know, technology, industry, labor, everything is globalized, and how all of those things, and particularly coalition, where we're going to need to be in a coalition, how all of those things affect the future, and then compound that with the fact that likely the budget's going to go down, even though the number of scenarios that one could envision as threats has actually increased. I mean, today we're talking about going from pirates through cyber warfare through all the way up to nuclear war. And so there's this huge spectrum that we can't afford to address individually. We need more flexibility. We need more responsiveness. We really have to recognize that the 21st century is different. It's probably not going to be tank-on-tank conflict. It's probably going to be what we are now seeing in Iraq and Afghanistan, a war among the people, and how we take advantage of new technologies like unmanned airplanes, robots, undersea unmanned systems, how we use new intelligence systems, and so forth. It's a very different world, and we need to recognize that.
You outlined in your testimony four main steps towards security, is what you call them. What DOD buys, how they buy it, who does the buying, and who they buy from. Is there one of those that you think deserves more priority, or are they all so critical that they all need attention?
Well, first of all, they're all interrelated, and they are, I guess I would say, equally critical in the sense that thinking about what we buy is essential, because even if we bought perfectly the wrong thing, it wouldn't matter.
Right.
You know, so it's important that we decide on what we buy. That's the requirements process, and that those things be the 21st century needs, not the 20th century needs. But it's equally important that we figure out how to do it efficiently and effectively. That's the how we buy. It's acquisition reform, if you will. Trying to get more efficiency and effectiveness out of it. And that gets involved in things like buying commercial equipment and buying from the commercial world, and even having dual-use capabilities such as the Russians, the Chinese, everyone else is now trying to push, where you have a factory that has an integrated commercial and military operation, but we have laws against that. So we have to change the laws in order to be able to do that. Similarly, our laws are, and our practices and our policies are all based on buying goods. But last year, I did a study for the Defense Science Board in which we found that 57% of all of the purchases were for services, not for goods. But all of our laws are written around buying goods. And so, I mean, buying an engineer is different than buying a tank.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so we have to change the how we buy. And then you get to the third category of who does the buying. You need smart buyers in order to get more for less, which is what we're really asking for here with a reduced defense budget. So you need experienced, smart people who understand industry incentives. And we want to encourage people who understand the industry to be the government buyers, so we get smart buyers. And then the last part of it is who we buy from. That's the industrial base, and that, as I said, needs to be transformed so we take full advantage of world-class commercial, world-class global firms, but also so that even the defense industry, which is the key element of this, and the reason the book is called Democracy's Arsenal, picks up on Eisenhower's statement, you know, the arsenal of democracy was the reason we won the Second World War. It really is critical, the defense industry, and it needs to be responsive, efficient, innovative, and still profitable so that it can invest. And we need to recognize that that's a critical part of this overall structure, that the supply and demand sides both have to transform.
You talked about the cultural changes that are going to have to happen at the Pentagon and in the defense industry for this. And you and I have talked about that issue before when we've talked about these subjects. Are you getting a sense that there's an appetite either inside the building or in the defense industry for that cultural change? Or do we still have a whole lot of stakeholders that just like things the way they are and are going to push back on any kind of cultural change?
Well, first of all, you have to recognize that there's always resistance to change. You know, 85% of the people are always against the change if it affects them. But on the other hand, all the literature on culture change, which truly this is very clear about what's needed in order to make culture change. Two things. First of all, what's needed is a recognition of the need for change. And there, I think there is a true recognition growing. Certainly the people coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan see the difference. And I think gradually the industry, the Pentagon, even the Congress is saying that, you know, we need to make these changes. Now, the second thing that's required is leadership with a vision, a strategy, a set of actions for implementation. And there's a lot of resistance as well, because a lot of people have different visions or a different set of actions or different strategies for achieving it. And we need to work on that. And that's where I think certainly Secretary Panetta is going to have to take the lead on it, but he's going to need the support from the White House and, very importantly, the support from the Congress. Because if they continue to insist that the world is not changed, you know, that they want to continue to do whatever they've been doing in their district or their state, then there's going to be just too much resistance. So it requires a different way of thinking and a set of changes. But first and necessary, and I think that's why I'm optimistic here, is that I think everyone recognizes the world is different in the 21st century.
The only problem with a conversation like this, Jack, is there's never enough time to get into all the things I'd like to. So I'd love to have you come back in the studio again sometime when we can really flesh some of these things out.
Sure. Happy to do it.